Welcome to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Talk about stuff that's messing with your head and crazy stuff that's happening in the bed. Why? Because many church folks have fallen into darkness, and the Bible calls us to walk as children of light. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. All this week, ladies and gentlemen, we've been looking at what's really happening in America. And we've been looking at Marxism, the teachings of Karl Marx, and a lot of our leaders, particularly our black leaders, a lot of our, Marxism. One of the things that it says, get control of those that wears robes. Get control of the judges, the professors, and the preachers. Those people that wear robes, because those people have influence on the lives of the people. And if your preacher is not lining up with scripture, he can take not only you down, but a whole country down. If your professor is not lining up with scripture, he done got into this Marxism, he can take not only you down, but a whole country down. If the judge don't line up with scripture, he can take not only you down, but he can take the whole country down. And what we see happening with these riots and all of that going on in America today is the destabilization of America. But is that by design? Is that really by design? Well, our speaker today, he thinks so. And so I want you to get close to your radio and listen as Chaim Adaman speaks about the destabilization of America.
It's been burning on my heart this week. I will tell you up front, it is not politically correct. You might even see me speaking to the camera sometimes and speaking directly to America. The title is The Destabilization of America. The Destabilization of America. What does that word destabilize mean? Well, check this out. It's the process of upsetting the stability of something. Does it sound like what's going on now? The process of upsetting the stability of something. And I read a survey on Facebook. The question was this: do most church leaders speak up about the real issues facing us today? And it was no, 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 no. And that just confirmed a lot of what was going on in my heart, is because it needs to be yes, 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 yes. If we don't get the information from the pulpit, where do we get it from? CNN? MSNBC, Drudge Report, Fox News. No, it has to come from the pulpit, discerning from and looking to God's word. I want to get just a few things off my chest in the introduction here, just to let you know on a few things before I get into the meat of the sermon. But it's important that we don't look around us right now. We have to look up. Don't look around. Look up. Don't look around what's going on in the media, in the culture, in our community. It's good to be aware, but we ultimately need to look up. And I believe the next hammer that is going to fall is going to be financial. So I think as Christians, we need to be prepared in all different areas of life. Things are not getting better, in case you haven't been watching much. Things are getting more out of control. And I have great hope in this sense, that God often breaks us down before he builds us up. You've been hearing me say for a few months that America is fearful. She's anxious, but she's not repentant. She's not broken, and we're getting there. By the grace of God, we are getting there. And I also want to talk about something that's been out there. I think it's important to talk about this. We are being too quick to accept ungodly things. And the church in the past always overcorrects too much. We overcorrect and we have to come back to the middle. And one of the things out there that's being pushed a lot is something called the social gospel. Has anyone heard that? Well, it started out fine. I think it was late 1800s or so, early 1900s. There was a push, a movement to get the church into society. Feed the homeless and the racial issues and different things. And the church was to be the church, the feet of Jesus, the hands of Jesus. But then now it's become something different, where it's actually focused on good works. We don't talk too much about the gospel, we talk about good works. And that's always dangerous and it's damning, because good works do not save you. We don't go out and make a difference in our community, and that's what saves me. So that's my concern, is they're looking to social salvation and not individual salvation. And it's really about restoring the culture. We got to restore all the cultural things and not restoring the gospel. So you'll see that there's a debate out there, and sometimes, you know, people have are genuine, they're sincere. So I see what they're saying, but we just have to be careful when they start to promote the social gospel, because we got to get out and make a difference in our community. We got to bring racial reconciliation. We got to do this. And yes, we do, but that's not the gospel. The gospel is, I was dead in my sin and trespasses, and God delivered me and set me free, and I repented of my sin and I embraced Christ on the cross. That's the gospel. And I'm still in preaching mode from the first service, so excuse me. But when we start to forget that, and it becomes about doing this and doing that, and it can actually become dangerous, because this is where liberal theology comes from. Did you know that? Liberal theology. We just need to do these things and reach out to others, which is good. Don't get me wrong. The church better be doing that, or you don't have the real gospel either. But they begin to do these things, and what they begin to do on the flip side of that is dumb down theology. They don't look to the inerrancy of God's word. They'll say we have to reach the homosexual community, but they won't call it sin. You see how that works? We have to have unity, but we don't want to look at the unity of Scripture. And it's, you're really seeing this now with the big movement and the protests and riots and different things, is this term is going to become used more and more, I believe. And I do want to say this. I need to get this off my chest. A lot of what you're seeing going on, yes, I agree with many of you, it is about the next election, correct? Whatever side you're on there, it's about the next election. But do we really think that we can flood our homes with pornography, murder millions of children, satisfy the gods of alcohol, lust, and addiction, mock God's word, declare a war on the family, excuse racism, promote self-centered politicians, and idolize celebrity pastors who tippy-toe around sin, and expect the blessings of God in America? Well, I want to serve notice on you today. No! We cannot. This is a reckoning. This is a judgment. Can be the judgment of God purifying the soul of a nation. And I'm like you. I want comfort. I want to get back to no masks. I want to just walk through the city without fear. I want that. But I don't know if it's coming anytime soon. And I don't know if it's a judgment of God. I don't know what's going on exactly. Like most of you don't know. And be careful of those who think they do know. It's a spiritual battle. All hell's breaking loose. But we also have to recognize that our nation needs deep repentance. Deep repentance. How can the slaughter of 60 million children go unnoticed? The blood of innocent children on our hands. I speak on that a lot. I'm not going there right now. But I just want to remind you that this is not just about our safety and our comfort and our convenience. This could be about a day of reckoning where God is wanting to get our hearts right before Him. And again, I want to encourage you, though. I actually have great peace during this time, because I believe in the God of peace. I believe that God often breaks us down in order to build us up. I believe that we are children of God. I believe we are seeking Him and He will answer. But often He, because I usually say, get me out of this trouble soon. God's word doesn't say, get me out of this trouble. It says, I will be with you through the storm. When you go through the water, it will not overtake you. I'm not walking on the bank. When you go through the water, it will not overtake you. When you walk through the fire, it will not scorch you. I don't even want to go by the fire. What do you mean when I walk through the fire? You've got to be kidding me. So it's with us in that. And I know like many of you, I've shed many tears, especially in the mornings during worship, and be encouraged. They are not tears of fear. They are tears about the grace and wisdom and the love of Almighty God pouring His Spirit upon the people. I will tell you, worship has never been more sweet than it is now. Prayer has never been meant more to me than it does now. Calling down heaven and travailing and pressing into the kingdom of God. Did you used to know they used to call prayer labor? Labor, travail. When Zion travails, sons and daughters are born. There's a travailing. Think of the labor and delivery room. Labor and delivery room. I remember that. I do not want to go back there again because it is not pretty. Get this out of me. I am in pain. Stop this. Oh God, how is prayer any different? Praying for our nation. There's labor pains. Oh God, for our children and for our grandchildren. We want to call down heaven and Lord, make a difference in this dark and decaying culture. There is labor. There is pain. Yes, this is going to hurt feelings today, and that's okay. We need to hurt feelings from time to time. We need to step on toes. We are going to have a prayer meeting every day this week other than Monday, right here at 10 a.m., 10 to 12, Tuesday through Friday this week. It's the most fascinating thing I've ever seen as a pastor. Well, I've seen a few things. The most fascinating thing, one of them, I should say top 10. Let me make my top 10 list. Is to understand that prayer is the most important thing we can be doing right now. I think we all agree on that. But it's the least attended event in all of the church. How can the most important thing be the least attended? I'll tell you, when you're hungry for God, it's not the least attended. Go to the persecuted church in China, they'll walk half a day to get to a prayer meeting. We won't drive 5 minutes. Shane, you're convicting me. Good. That's good. Sometimes we need that conviction. Who said pastors are supposed to walk on eggshells? And now, looking to Scripture, I read this before when you weren't here. I was preaching to a camera. I want to just read it while you were here, while you're here now. The book of Joel, God says, and Joel, the prophet Joel asked, well, let me set this up. Judah, Israel and Judah, divided in southern and northern kingdoms, they are experiencing massive financial prosperity and blessings of God. And guess what happened? They drift from God. They drift from God. And God brings in locusts to devour the land. Have you seen those pictures in Africa lately? Man, God doesn't mess around. They devour, and like now we might say, well, it's not as big deal now. It is back there to Africa, and it was here because that wiped out all of their livelihood. The vine, so there was no juice. The crop, so there was no food. No food for the people, no food for the cattle. The cattle were going lean. The people were in desperation. And God says, has anything like this happened in your day or even in the days of your fathers? Tell your children about it. Isn't that interesting? God says, tell your children and tell their children to tell their children of another generation. Why? Because God says, don't only just pass down my blessings, but pass down the warnings of God. Because see, here's what's happening. You give those rioters the fear of God and they will stop in a heartbeat. There is no fear of God in our land anymore. The Bible talks about the fear of God being the beginning of wisdom and understanding. When you fear God, you don't fear man. When you fear God, there's morality and decency. We have lost the fear of God in our lands. And Jesus even said, I don't want to alarm too many people, but in the last days, lawlessness will abound and the love of many will grow cold. When you start to see murder being no big deal, Chicago, I think, having its highest day in 60 years, taking life like it's no big deal. Lawlessness is abounding, meaning taking over. And so God says, because of the sins of the people, you have left me, you've forsaken your first love. What the chewing locust left, the swarming locust will eat. And what the swarming locust will leave, the crawling locust will eat. And what the crawling locust will leave, the consuming locust will eat. Basically, it will wipe out everything. And I believe that if it was just a chewing locust, the people would still be in their sin, not yet repentant. And I don't want to get too deep into this, because some people do and they get dangerous water, because you don't want to speak into Scripture, things that aren't in Scripture. That's actually called eisegesis and not exegesis. And you know, some charismatic people, they pull stuff into Scripture. I'm like, where did you get that from? But it is interesting. That word chew, you can go look it up. Do get your Hebrew dictionary out. It talks about waste. So he says here, what the locust wasted, then I will bring in the swarming. The word swarm is overwhelm. I will overwhelm the people. And then crawling, something that lingers. And then consuming, something that takes. So you see, with almost the same thing to me, there's a waste. Wasting is happening. And then an overwhelming of what, this overwhelming of what we're feeling. And then something lingers. Stay at home. Stay at home policy. Right? There's a lingering. There's one hit after it. It's actually called psychological warfare, what's going on, by the way. Is you beat people down to where they've had enough and they will surrender their rights. They will surrender their freedoms. They will surrender if they can just have that peace back. Have you felt that before? So there's waste. Then there's an overwhelming sense that takes over. Then there's a lingering. And then the final, the consuming locust. That word consuming means takes everything that is left. And that's the spot we're at, where we see that this could be a God allowing or God's judgment. I don't know, but there's a wasting, an overwhelming, a lingering, a taking. So if this is the destabilization of America, how do we stabilize it, Shane? Well, I'm glad you asked. It only took you 15 minutes. Stabilize. Number one, we must stabilize America with accuracy. Accuracy. I've got three A's: accuracy, authority, and accountability. What do I mean by that? The right information. Amen? The right information. I'm at alarmed at what some Christians are believing. And they're getting this and this and this, everything. The news is divided. Political parties are divided. Races are divided. There's division everywhere. We need to get back to the stability and the accuracy of true information. I heard an acronym this week about the secular media. Media. M-E-D-I-A, most effective devil in America. And that is true. You need to know something. The major media organizations are owned by billionaires who are corrupt that want to destroy America. Oh, Shane, come on. Search it. Research it. I didn't see some little clip and just, you research. It goes back deep. It goes back into corruption. And once you can control the news, control the media, control the narrative, bring in rioting, bring in looters, bring in all these different things and cause chaos, this is what we are seeing today. We're also dealing with something called the cancel culture. Anyone heard those terms? The cancel culture. If you do something against the politically correct police, they will shut you down. The largest church in Alabama right now is closed until further notice. Their pastor had the audacity to like a whole bunch of Facebook posts about our president. God forbid. If that's the case, then I'm in big trouble. Because, see, they rented their building from the school district. Separation of church and state. Keep your mouth shut. See, at some point, churches might just have to throw the 501c3 in the trash and say, we are a corporation under God and God alone. And in case you haven't wondering, that hasn't stopped us ever one bit. But look at Drew Brees. Did he just apologize? Why? He said we should stand when you have the national anthem. I think you're okay. You can have that opinion. Right? No, you can't. Mm-mm. Not in the politically correct culture, you can't. Nike pulls their ad front, all these places. You won't even be in the NFL anymore unless you capitulate. What's that little cartoon for kids? Pause. Off the air. Elmer Fudd, his guns no more. This is the... Oh, I gotta be... Lord, don't let me preach anger. Oh. But this is the result of what they call the snowflakes. This is the result of whining, childish millennials who think they know it all. And they're so hurt by the truth. They're so offended by everything, and they go all the way to the other end. Like the new idea out there, right? You've all heard it. The new idea is actually the stupidest idea I think I've ever heard since I've been born, to get rid of the police. That is like, am I in the Twilight Zone? What is wrong? And it makes you think, if you want to get rid of the police, what are you up to? I remember, I didn't like the police in my 20s. Now granted, there's racism, there's racial divides in all areas of life. This isn't a black white thing. This isn't a skin problem, it's a sin problem. And that's how we're gonna fix this. But you also have to understand why, because these people aren't just gonna go, let's get rid of all police. They'll do that and get in their own authority. Do you know who else did that? 1930s? Adolf Hitler. Get rid of the police and bring in brown, I think it was brown jackets, brown coats, something like that, his own police force. And when they start talking, let's bring in our own police. And see how that's all capitulating? It's all compromise? And so what, and you, if you look at the news too, you see this general, right? This four-star general, whatever. This general's against the president. This person's against the president. This person's writing a book. What is going on? You need to know something. Most of you have heard this term. I want to explain it briefly. I think it's so important to come from the pulpit. I have friends, as you know, on the president's advisory board. We've got friends close to what's going on in Washington. There's something called the deep state. Okay, this is not conspiracy theory. President Obama appointed many people as generals, as Department of Justice, as FBI, CIA. He appointed them. So many of these people are still in office there. It's called the deep state. And these people work against our current administration. So what you see in the news, how can a general be against our president? Listen, he was against our president on day one when he was inaugurated. So you have deep state, you have corruption in the FBI, you see what's coming out, subpoenas. Hillary is now going to have to answer for her emails. They're subpoena. They might even subpoena Barack Obama. There is God's not playing around. You see all these subpoenas coming out, all this corruption, perversions coming out. Jeffrey Epstein in New York decides to kill himself while the cameras are out, and the guards were sleeping. Wow! You need hashtag drink. Stop drinking the Kool-Aid. Okay, there is an underpinning. There is an evil. They're at work. It's called that's what he meant from the get-go when he said, I will drain the swamp. That's what that means. There's a deep state. This isn't conspiracy theories. This isn't Shane getting weird. This is true. There are CIA, FBI, and all types of people in there that hate our current administration. Listen, when you're wanting to bring back the Bible into schools, when you have prayer meetings throughout Washington, D.C., when you're putting godly people actually acknowledge the name of Jesus Christ in all the higher offices, when you put Christians like Ben Carson in charge of HUD, Urban Housing Development, when you start to do this, you start to defund the world's largest abortion clinic who slaughter children, when you start to bring back prayer into schools, when you start to do all these things, I don't care about the man's character. I'm more concerned about the heart of the nation. When you start to honor God in our legislation, honor God in our laws, that's when there is a spiritual upheaval. Give the churches back their voice. Get rid of the Johnson Amendment. Let the Bible be profound again. The president actually tweets, watch this pastor, listen to this sermon. Can you imagine? The enemy hates that. That's why there's a spiritual upheaval. I love the emails I get once a month. I might as well just tell you. I really loved your sermon until you got to the part about supporting the president. Well, go home and cry about it, turn us off, unsubscribe. I don't care anymore. We're not politically correct. Listen, If I could edit his tweets, if I could talk to him, trust me, we'd have some conversations. You got it. But the question all of you should be asking is, what kind of nation are we leaving our children? What kind of nation? What kind of nation has a political party that thinks it's okay to kill a 9-month-old child? Folks, that is murder. That is a stench in the nostrils of a righteous. I don't care if I have no claps. I have no claps. I am well aware that these kind of sermons could get me killed someday or thrown in prison. I understand, but these days you better be filled mightily with the Spirit of the living God. You will not, let me be prophetic right now. You will not survive these dire times if Christ is not your entire foundation. If you're not filled with the Spirit of God, if you're not looking to God's truth, God's word, if you're not looking to that, you will fall. Isn't it interesting if even the elect could be led astray? Jesus, even if it were possible, it's not possible, but if it were possible, even the elect would be led astray by the debauchery, by the filth, by the confusion. I mean, it's so confusing. One news story says, former President Bush's camp says that he's not supporting Trump. I'm like, whoa. So I text a few people. No, here's this story. His camp says he is supported. That was fake news. Okay, now there's bombers over Alaska. And now there's this North Korea. And now it's like we are inundated. And if you're not careful, you'll be driven by fear, not by God's Spirit. Christians need to be less media influenced and more Holy Spirit driven. Well, hold on, I'm not done on this topic. We need accuracy. Rasmussen, you can look at this, I think it was about a week and a half ago. Rasmussen poll said 40%, you're not gonna hear this on the news, 40% approval rate of blacks, among blacks for our president. According to the media, you think it's 4%. See, there's a skewing, that my blood boils. There's a lying and they're deceiving and there's an agenda and there's a false narrative and we have to call them out.
All right, we're going to stop the tape right there today, but we're going to pick right back up there tomorrow because you probably hadn't heard that 40% of African Americans support President Trump. All right, in other words, there is a silent constituency in the black community that support the president. All right, that's it for today. Thank you for joining us. Listen to us all day long because we're in your corner right here on Ghostbusters.
Cause you